Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
KNBR, KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, Susan Slusser of your San Francisco Chronicle, indeed joining us as she does every week. She's on the UMA guest line. Susan, hello, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing? That was fun last night, huh?
It was, it was a blast. There's no doubt about that. As you chronicled in your Chronicle game story, Mike Yastrzemski's quote, how many times can I fit Chronicle into this question? Every single person in that dugout had the mindset we were going to come back and win that game just because that's kind of how we are. And I was saying to the fellas, Yastrzemski knew that, Kapler knew that, thousands of people knew that, myself included, even down 7-0. They're going to win this game. They have the ability to come back and get themselves in a position to win this game. So I ask you, did you think they were going to win that game, even though they were down 7-0 or 8-5 in the eighth?
Man, I am such a longtime jaded sports writer. You know, I'm just kind of, once a team's down by 7 runs, you know, you got to start writing. I'm on a deadline and stuff. So you have like a whole story written, right, about, you know, this whole opener thing, it didn't work, and Sammy Long, you know, maybe threw off Sammy Long, and I've got that all written, and then all of a sudden, the eighth inning happened here, and I was like, oh, wait, are they doing this again?
Scratch that.
Do I have to start rewriting now? It's stressful, but you know what, it's fun. Those things are so fun. You do have to wonder a little bit. Yes, absolutely. I love what Yastrzemski said, and I'm sure that that's the case, that that's how the Giants are feeling. There's also a little bit to this. It's a little bit the Diamondbacks, you know?
Sure,
they're the exact opposite. Like, they seem to be in the spot where they know no matter how big a lead they take, they're going to lose. That was probably a recipe for disaster for them and for the Giants. So the combination, man, oof. I shouldn't have started writing. That's on me.
Well, you know, okay, so maybe you're the bad good luck charm. So if the Giants get down big, just start writing that losing game story and keep it in the drafts, and then they'll start to get that all momentum, right, and come back. So you're the talisman, I guess, now. Or talisman?
Cool, I'll just save one.
Just make it generic, exactly. Mad Libet.
I'll tell you, Susan, what I love about your coverage of the Giants is that this ain't your first rodeo, you know what I mean? So you have perspective on baseball, and you've seen other clubhouses, you've seen other franchises, you've seen other coaching staffs. I bring it up because, you know, Yaz told Pop and Lund today that, you know, he credited, working pregame with Donnie Ecker, who's, you know, a Bay Area guy, coached at Los Altos High School, and I think he's a Bakersfield guy. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, the players play, but, man, this coaching staff works, and the talk is, and I don't know if this is what I want to know from you, the talk is that this staff is, Dave even has mentioned it, that they really grind, that they really work, that they're really putting in the hours. Can you compare? I mean, I know the pandemic's kept you away from it a little bit, but can you compare how hard this staff works to teams that you've seen in other locales?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, I've covered a lot of sports. I've covered a lot of teams. I don't think I've ever seen a coaching staff that was, like, lazy or anything, for sure.
Sure.
But there's so many of these guys. And I just got, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm older. I'm a little old school when it comes to baseball stuff. And I think a lot of the people around baseball who, you know, sort of old school people are like, oh, they've got so many coaches, you know, 14, really 15 coaches. That's ridiculous, right? You go, and we're all so young. What's up with that? I was skeptical. But it's not just that they work so hard. They care so much. And they're doing really good work. And what I really like, I've heard this complaint in baseball for a long time, that a lot of times players get drafted, and then that's it in terms of coaching. Like, even in the minor leagues, teaching is not and has not. I think it's changing. But there certainly have been decades where teaching was not necessarily uppermost, even in the minor leagues. And players have complained about that for a long time. Like, it's just like, okay, just get out there and play now. Just show us what you can do. We drafted you. That's all we're doing. And it was more like win, you know, coaches, minor league coaches felt like the impetus was to win and send guys up and stuff like that, instead of preaching fundamentals. I think a couple of teams have really changed their thinking on that by putting in organizational philosophies throughout. I think that's one of the reasons the Braves teams, you know, in the 90s were so good. They had organizational philosophies in place. And we've seen that trickle throughout. And the Giants have done this better than any team I think I've ever seen. And some of it is so many coaches. But I think I mentioned this maybe on the morning show. During spring training, I was convinced that there was more than one Kai Correa, because every time I went to a different field, he was there. And I still don't know how he does it. And everybody else was like, yes, exactly. He's everywhere. So it's, they are on it. And these players all talk about the things they're learning, the things they're doing differently, the preparation. I have not heard a team talk about this, about continuing to learn. You know, everybody talks about preparation, but it's learning new things, honing things specifically, changing swings. Sure, that happens in every organization, but this is so really off the charts, organized and thought out. I'm really, really impressed.
When did Gabe Kapler start wearing the Harry Carries?
That's a good question. I need to ask him that.
Yeah, I go, is that Gabe Kapler? And it was Gabe Kapler. I go, well, he's got those some big ass glasses. I immediately shot to the scene from Major League when Charlie Sheen needed the glasses, and Lou Brown, the manager, goes, seeing's the most important thing, son. And then Wesley Snipes said, it ain't that damn important.
You know, that's a better answer than I think we're going to get from Gabe, so I'm going to go with that.
just go with that one. That was a good one. God, I mean, it's not too early, I don't think, to start thinking about the trade deadline. Probably chatter will probably start about a month from now, I would think, but it's so weird now, Susan, because there's so many teams that are, and not as many as last year, of course, but there's still a lot of teams that feel like, hey, we got a chance. So what do you think? Because I'm thinking bullpen's always something you can kind of shore up a little bit. I know they don't want to give up a whole lot. Nobody does trading deadline anymore, so you don't get the big monster trades. But do you think that's probably, will their target maybe depth and maybe depth in the bullpen and bench depth, that they feel like they need that too?
Well, I think, you know, really, like every team, they need pitching probably of all kinds. I think they would love to get a starter, particularly a starter who is signed beyond this year, not necessarily a free agent one, which will wind up costing more, right? Either in terms of taking on more salary, which I think is probably what the Giants would prefer, rather than giving up any top prospects when they've been so careful to assemble them. But here's a little wrinkle, and I talked to Farhan about this last week. Right now, with the whole foreign substance thing, when you're looking at the pitching market, how are you evaluating it? You have to wait and see. You know, like this, the edict kind of goes into effect next Monday. You know, do you wait and see? Are guys' RPMs dropping drastically? Are you going to get maybe somebody who you think isn't using any foreign substances? This actually could be, because everybody needs pitching, right? I don't know necessarily how teams are going to feel about some of the bigger names on the market. And the market has really yet to develop. So that's fascinating. I do think that they will try to get help in their bullpen. And I do think that they would love a starter who they have beyond this year.
Did baseball bungle this by implementing this during the middle of the season? Because, look, no one wants to listen to Bauer. Pretty much everybody can't stand Bauer. But Glass now was talking about it, and he goes, look, I just had to grip the ball different. He goes, I couldn't use the stuff, so I had to stick the ball further back in my hand, and I was flexing my forearm more than I would, and he's convinced that led to his injury, not being able to use something. And it does seem to make sense that if this is something they wanted to do, it should have been hammered out during the off season or hammered out next off season. That while we all agree it's a problem, it is pretty drastic to tell pitchers, here, you know, you just do what you've been doing and then stop. You can't do anything. I can't say I disagree with them.
I'm shocked that they didn't come up with some sort of other substance besides rosin that they said, okay, you need to be able to have a good grip. I have heard forever, I'm sure you guys have too, that rosin is not enough. That's how this all started, with essentially rosin plus sunscreen, was guys trying to find. Not necessarily an element to cheat, but the balls are slick, and they are slicker. Like guys, the guys who've played overseas, the teams that have played exhibitions in other countries like Japan, they say the ball is different. It is easier to grip. The ball changes, particularly after, you know, the big lively ball, those changes. Everybody has said the ball is much more slick since then. Mm. So there are a few things they should have done. First of all, they should have addressed this a long time ago. We've all been hearing about increased use of foreign substances for a couple of years. The RPM should have been showing them they have some of the best minds in pro sports who I'm sure were aware some of these things were going on. So they either needed to work out something with providing a ball that's less slick, either through manufacturing or through whatever they're rubbing the balls up with, or providing a universal substance that does that without affecting the drag of the ball. And I assume that that is something that could be done. A lot of agents, including Scott Boras, have recommended that they come up with a better substance than rosin, but something that is not going to wildly impact RPMs and spin rates. So, baseball has not, it seems like baseball gets forced into action on a lot of things to do with cheating. Yeah. That's not a great look. They need to be much more proactive. I would like to see them have some sort of designated person who basically is just on the lookout for these things ahead of time to take action before it just becomes out of control like this. Because I've got to think it's the majority of pitchers that are using this. You're done if you're not. Nobody's calling you on it. But at the same time, Tom, to say like, okay, we don't want to make this drastic change in the middle of the season. What are you telling hitters? You know, the hitters are the ones that really are on the wrong end of this. And you guys have seen video, and you go like, you know, and pitching ninja guys, you know, put out clips. You go like, that ball does not move like anything that seems physically possible. If you're a hitter, you're like, how am I supposed to hit that? You can't. You cannot hit that. So they needed to do something. They should have done it sooner. There are a lot of different things they could have done, and so far they have not addressed it adequately to my mind.
Would it have been okay if they had told the hitters, look, we're going to let them keep using what they're using just for the rest of this year, and you guys get to cork your bats?
You guys get metal bats.
You guys get metal bats.
Oh, we're trying to kill people now.
Wow.
We're trying to kill everybody.
Wow. It got dark there for a second, Susan.
We love that. I love pitchers. I don't see how anybody hits some of that stuff. And baseball's been so concerned about the lack of offense, right?
It's been
staring them in the face. They have all the data everyone else has. How have they not seen this? They know. Why didn't they do something before that? It took a bunch of high-profile hitters and one very annoying high-profile pitcher to bring this to the fore, really? That's crazy.
Yeah,
It sure seems like they want to cause dissension within the ranks of the Major League Baseball Players Association. I'll just keep throwing that out there.
That's 100% true.
They want that fight to happen because they know that fight's coming up with the CBA. I want to shout out some guys who made last night possible to get to Yastrzemski's late game magic. Brandon Belt, 3-for-3 last night. What, double and a triple? It's good to see him maybe rounding into form after coming off the IL or what have you. And the pinch hitting has been top notch for the Giants. And listen, Vossler had something to do with last night's comeback, and Casale with that pinch hit walk. The ability of you guys to come off the bench and give you good at bats, positive at bats, that's a through line for the Giants offense this season.
Absolutely. I mean, the depth guys have just been spectacular. And I know Casale has gotten a lot of criticism from fans. This guy is tremendous behind the plate, and the pitchers love him. And his success behind the plate is, honestly, teams look at backup catchers and they do not care about offense. They just don't. It's not their job. But that wrist thing after getting the hamate bone, that was no joke. And he just really has not been able to swing the bat the way he would like to. He gets a little bit of time off. He gets a couple hits the other day. And at bat last night, he actually had a 5-pitch walk. I'm sure you guys saw it. There was a ball 4 that was missed in that at bat very badly. So really, really had that. He's a very smart player. That was huge. And really, that's all he was trying to do. He was trying to get Yastrzemski up. That was his job.
Yep.
It was almost like planned to perfection and executed well. But I am just impressed by all of the depth guys such smart, savvy little incremental moves that the front office has made. And look, I'm not just trying to like pump up the front office. Everybody knows that they are a smart, savvy bunch. They certainly have, like everybody have had their missteps, but this is as good a bunch of depth guys for a team that has a packed IL most of the year, like everybody has. This, I think it's the depth as much as anything that has really helped them not just stay afloat, but stay on the front in the NLL.
They've got some of the best bad hitters I've ever seen in my life. I mean, as far as guys like Casale and Talkman, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like these guys, the average says they're not good hitters, but man, these guys are good hitters. I mean, and I don't know about Casale being a hitter really, but because they're winners.
What's
they're winners. They play winning baseball.
Winners.
They're good clubhouse guys. Hey, what about Ruff? I heard that maybe he had a little maybe setback in the pregame kind of workout. Believe it or not, they kind of miss his right-handed bat. He's a professional hitter, and he's got power. When can we expect him back?
So he had been hoping to come back tomorrow against a lefty, but I don't know if it was a setback so much as maybe a little bit of optimism. Though it wasn't unwarranted, but hamstrings, you guys know, hamstrings are tricky. And I asked yesterday if it's a strength thing or a pain thing, and he said it's just not comfortable. He said it's really hard to describe. It's not pain. It's not a lack of strength. It's not like, the stamina or anything. It's just not comfortable. He has to be able to sprint full out to come back. Obviously, you have to be able to run the bases. So he's not there yet. So he's hoping this weekend. The team is hoping this weekend. I'm not sure anybody at this point is going to say that's a for sure, just because it's a hamstring, And the last thing you want is to re-injure a hamstring, because typically when you do, it's much worse.
Susan, thank you for the time and the insight. Be well. We'll talk to you next week.
Fabulous. Thanks, Wes.
All right.
Thanks,
make sure you follow
Susan
on Twitter and pick up a Chronicle.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.